We want to say thank you. We love you. We appreciate you and all that you do. And happy Mother's Day to you. I have a few. I was as I was preparing for the day, I pulled this down on the internet. It's a Mother's Dictionary of Meanings, and this kind of gives definition to the words. And so the first one is dumbwaiter. That's defined by a mom as one who asks if the kids would like to order dessert. Not a very smart waiter that does that, right? How about feedback, the inevitable result when the baby doesn't appreciate the strained carrots? Feedback. Full name, what you call your child when you are mad at them. I heard that many times. I didn't hear my middle name from my mom very often, but when I did, I knew I was in trouble. Grandparents, the definition of grandparents, those who think your children are wonderful, even though they're sure you're not raising them quite right. Nah, you guys aren't like that, are you? Hearsay, what toddlers do when anyone says a dirty word. They tell everybody then. So, independent, how we want our children to be as long as they do everything we say. A puddle, a small body of water that draws other small bodies wearing dry shoes to it. Yeah. A show-off, a child who is more talented than yours. We can get that way, can't we? A sterilize, what you do to your first baby's pacifier by boiling water and to your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it and wiping it with saliva. For those of you that are the babies of the family, this is funny. Top bunk, where you should never put a child wearing Superman jammies. Top bunk. 2-minute warning, moms, you'll relate to this. When the baby's face turns red and she begins to make those familiar grunting noises. 2-minute warning. Who done it? None of the kids that live in your house. I didn't do it. You ever have that? I had five kids. So who did this? I don't know. I don't know either. I don't know either. And you know, sometimes adults don't grow out of that. Sometimes it don't grow out of that. But moms, we have come today to spend a little time together. And of course, we've come, as always, to honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, ultimately. Okay. But in doing so, it is He who has said in both the Old Testament in Exodus 20 and in the New Testament in Ephesians 5, that children are to honor their father and their mother. And so in honoring Him today, ladies, as moms, we honor you. And to that end, I would like you all to stand. I would like you all to stand so we can honor you and appreciate you. Moms, we love you. You've had a tremendous impact. Remain standing, please, moms. Grandmas, keep standing up. Foster moms, stand up. Remain standing. And then I'm going to have my wife, Donna, who is a mom of five children, and my wife, pray for you ladies. So,
let's pray. Father, I thank you for each woman that is in this room, Lord. And I thank you for the moms that are not here, that are represented by the bodies that are here, Lord. I thank you for my own mother, who taught me the meaning of commitment and the meaning of loving unconditionally. And I pray that you would help us as mothers to continue to seek hard after you, to follow hard after you, God, because we know that our job is challenging. Our job is never ending. Lord, it doesn't matter if our children are all grown. We never stop being concerned for their well-being and ultimately for their salvation. And we thank you, Lord, that you have called us, but you have also equipped us, and you have given us the power of prayer. You have given us the ability to trust in you. I thank you for everyone in this room, Lord, and I pray for these moms in particular, that you would help them to remember, Lord, that when they are feeling like a failure and when they are feeling like they can't do it and they want to give up, Lord, that, Lord, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could hope or imagine, and we can trust you. And so I thank you for this day. I ask that you would bless their day, bless them as moms, and keep their children safe in Jesus' arms. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
All right, you can be seated. We are going to do something a little different today, something that moves me out of my comfort zone. But I always, as a pastor, I usually on Mother's Day will teach a message on Mother's Day that has to do with Mother's Day, recognizing all the time that I'm not a mom. So being a little kind of at a deficit to really enter into what it's like fully to be a mom. And so, you know, and I'll probe my wife for some insight. But I thought this year, you know what, I'm going to just have my wife, Donna, and my daughter, Jacqueline, one mom who's looking back on it and one mom who's in the middle of it. And I'm going to talk to them today, and my prayer is that it will encourage you and strengthen you. It will give some of us who aren't moms some insight into what being a mom is like. And so welcome with me, Donna and Jacqueline. Got to get my mic here. Got some questions for you guys. You know, in fact, why don't you put up the picture of my family up there on the thing so you can get an idea of the scope of the family. So that's all of them right there. There's, Owen. And right now, Martha, what happened? Is everybody there? Oh, yeah, there's Martha. Okay, everybody's there. Just checking, getting old. There's Owen in the middle, the lone grandson among the four granddaughters there. And then Martha and Justin right behind him. And Martha is in labor even as we speak for her second. And they chose to do it the old-fashioned way. They don't know what it is.
We don't know. It's a baby.
It's a baby. And it's one of two, a boy or a girl. But it's a mystery. So we find ourselves kind of waiting, going, come on, get that baby out so we can find out what it is. So the good old days. So anyhow, moms, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Okay. Well, I thought I'd start off with Jacqueline as she's in the middle of raising children. You've been at this for a little over 7 years now, and four daughters later.
All girls.
Yes.
It's not working. Oh, there
yeah,
we go.
It's working. Is yours working?
Mine's working.
Okay. All girls, and you know, what has surprised you about being a mom? I mean, there, you know, you had certain ideas of what being a mom was like, and then now here you are in the middle of it. And so, has there been any surprises when it comes to being a mom?
I think for me, I grew up in a big family, so I kind of had an idea a little bit of what motherhood was. Like, I knew it wasn't easy. I knew it wasn't something that you took lightly, that it was like, oh, no big deal, I'm just going to have a baby, and it's all fun and happy. Like, I knew that there were days that were rough and that babies didn't always take naps when you wanted them to take naps and go to bed when you wanted them to go to bed and all that stuff. But I think the thing, or eat their food, maybe they spit their carrots back out at you, so whatever. But I think for me the biggest shock has been having all four girls, all the same, you know, gender, because I hear boys and girls are different. I don't know that. I just have girls. But
well, you kinda know. You have brothers.
I have brothers. I do have brothers, and they're different. So that's something.
They're very different. So, anyway, but that may just be my brothers. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I love my brothers. But I think how different their personalities are. And each one of them trying to learn them and really know who they are and how to communicate with them and how to show them love, because each one of them is different. And so I have to learn how to show them love differently, to encourage them differently. One of the things I prayed for my kids early on is that I would see the gifts that the Lord has given them so that I can encourage them in those gifts and not quench those gifts by saying something that maybe would hurt their feelings or that would make them be more self-conscious of it. So that for me has been the biggest shock, is just how different all my girls have been. So,
and that reminds me of, I used to tell my kids when they were little, you know what, that is the reason why the Lord told us to train up a child in the way he should go, not in the way they should go, because they're all different. And you can't deal with anyone the same as the next.
Okay, Donna, I know that there were times where, as a parent, as a mom growing up, you know, with the kids, that you felt like a failure. How when you feel like a failure, because I'm sure that there are maybe some moms out there that occasionally have run into this, where you feel like you've failed, right? Maybe a day, maybe a moment here and there. Or do you constantly fight failure? How do you move into that place from feeling like a failure? How do you move out of that place, I should say? I know how you don't move into it, you get into it. But how do you get out of that feeling? How do you combat that feeling of feeling like you're not going to make it, you're a failure?
Well, there's a few ways. And first of all, Dennis was really good in the early days when we just had Jacqueline, and I felt like a failure on a couple of occasions. And he would encourage me that, you know what, feelings are one thing, and it's okay to have feelings, but it's also important to recognize that feelings aren't fact. And so you need to go back to the Word of God, and what does the Word say? The Word does not say that because you have failed once that you are a failure. As a matter of fact, the Word tells us that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And so you fail forward, okay? You messed up this time. You confess your sins, and I learned to confess my sin to my children. I learned to say, you know what, that was wrong, how I dealt with that situation. I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? This is why it was wrong, you know, showing them the scriptures. And so that was good. Another thing Dennis always said to me was when I had all five of my kids and there were more days that I felt like a failure, and I would say, I'd call him at work sometimes, I'm like, I am failing, I'm not doing this right, pray with me. And he would say, remember, I'm like, I'm a pastor's wife, I'm supposed to have this down, you know. Yes. And he would say, hun, there's one perfect parent and he has rebellious kids. You know, and I was like, amen, thank you. That just lifted me right out of the muck and the mire, okay? And then I do remember one day in particular where most of the time when I was struggling with, it was with one child or another, but every once in a while they would gang up on me.
I didn't do that. That was not me.
Yeah, Jacqueline was like Mary Poppins. She's practically perfect in every way.
Right.
And then I had my second child.
That's the benefit of being the first.
And my second child, whom I love dearly, I suddenly learned that I'm not to teach parenting classes, that it's all about Jesus and it's His grace. And today, my second child is also walking with the Lord, and he had a heart-head connection, and he loves Jesus with all his heart now. But that is all, you know, the grace of God, and I realize that now. Because if it would have just been because I trained Jacqueline, and she obeyed, you know, and I thought, well, everybody should just follow in my footsteps, but that wasn't true. But anyhow, what was the question?
You were going to tell the story about the boys ganging up on you.
Oh, yeah. See, They were concerned that we wouldn't it wouldn't be spontaneous the second time. I said, oh, no, I'm old. I'll forget what you asked me the first time. So this is all new to me. Anyhow, one time all my boys got me. Were together. They ganged up on me when I corrected one of my children, and the other one chimed in and said I was wrong, and then they're all saying I was wrong, and pretty soon I had a van full of children against me, and it was mutiny at the Bounty, and it was awful. And so I ended up, I just, you know, drove my car home, and I, get out, all of you get out of my car, I don't want to talk to you. And we did have cell phones.
It was Wednesday, though.
It was on a Wednesday.
That's important.
It was a Wednesday. I was supposed to teach that night.
And so I called Dennis, and I'm like, they're ganging up on me, and I was trying to do it right, and I'm trying not to be in the flesh. And he's like, just breathe, hon, it's okay. And I go, you have to come home. And he's like, okay, I'm coming. I've got to take care of a few things. Okay, let me talk to Sheila. Ladies, when you're in a moment when, I don't know, if you have multiple children, sometimes you just need your Aaron and hers to hold up your arms, you know. And so I did call my friend Sheila, who is, you know, Dennis's secretary here, and she walked me through going back to, okay, you feel like a failure, Donna, but the Word of God says what? It says that I should believe, trust in the good things that I, how's that scripture go? I forget. Philippians chapter 4, where it says, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, report. Whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. And so I began to think on those things, and I began to pray. And so with the help of Dennis reminding me not to depend on my feelings, and the help of God's Word reminding me of what is true, and the help of friends holding up my arms, I've made it through. So. Hallelujah.
Jackie, we are living in a highly secularized society. It's not like it was when we raised you. I mean, there's a lot more hostility towards Christianity. There's a lot more garbage that's, you know, being hurled at your children. How is it that you incorporate, you know, raising them in the Lord? And what's the practical day-to-day things that you do to reinforce and to build into them godly values?
I think for my husband Chris and I, it's always been our priority that our kids and that we live out Jesus, that they see in my life, especially because I'm raising four little girls, they're looking at me to be that example of a godly woman. And so to make sure that I have that time with the Lord, and to make sure that I'm even though maybe I'm not always, you know, doing it right, but that they can see where my help comes from, and that they can see, you know, mommy's sitting down, mommy's doing her Bible study, and this is an important time. And I'm not one of those people. First of all, I'm not a morning person. I take after my dad. So I'm not one of those people that get up. Like, so my mom wakes up, and she's like, good morning. And we're like,
I really? I think personally morning actually describes it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I gotta get up.
I mourn in the morning. But I'm not a morning person, so I would love to tell you that I get up at, you know, 5 o'clock before my children wake up and all that, and I don't. I do my
good morning.
Yeah, I don't do that either. I'm barely awake. My mom used to sing to us in the morning. She used to go, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time to rise and shine. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And most of us are not morning people. So it was like literally like, Mom, stop! Like, it was awful.
I had a few pillows thrown at me.
I was going to mention that, but I didn't know if that was appropriate. So there were some pillows. And
I
there was
still
like,
tried.
Yeah, she did. She always woke up so happy. But so I usually do my Bible study a little bit later in the morning. So my girls always see me do my Bible study, and not intentionally for them to see me do it, but because that just they are more aware that I'm sitting there doing it. So they always ask, what are you doing? Are you doing your Bible study? Why are you doing your Bible study? And I try and walk them through that and take the time, even though I am trying to do my Bible study, like, leave mommy alone, it's Bible study time. But at the same time, I want them to understand the importance of it and why I do it and what I'm doing and how important it is for them. And sometimes they'll even sit for a minute for me to read to them, but it's not often. So, and also something my parents did when I was a kid is they always used Bible verses in everyday application. And in our house right now, having four girls, one that we use often is doing all things without. And my girls all go whining and complaining. Like, it's kind of like, and they even whine and complain as they do it. It's great. So it's fantastic. So that's something I try and do, too, is always reinstate scripture into whatever the daily life is. You know, by the Bible's there to be lived out. And so I try and encourage that. We also have one in school, one getting ready to start school in August. And for Addie, she we're surrounded by godly parents, godly grandparents, godly aunts and uncles. Like, my kids are so blessed. They're super surrounded by just the love of Jesus. And so Addie really would have no problem preaching. And I think she has on occasion at school. But we want to try. It's good. It is good. But we also want to try and get her to live it out and not just preach it. That her attitude and her actions and even her obedience to her teacher would show the love of Jesus, and that they would see something different in her. And so we talk to her about that often, and we try and redirect, you know, even when she does come home and she'll tell me, well, so-and-so said this, and I told them that that's not nice, and that's not what Jesus would want them to do, and blah, 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 and just kind of gets a little preachy to them, but just make sure that along with that preaching, that her actions also, are you showing them kindness? Are you encouraging them in love? You know, are you not being a hypocrite, basically, at school? So those are kind of ways that we've implemented the Bible and living out for Jesus in everyday situations.
Good. Good. Donna, five kids. Husband that was gone a lot in the younger years.
For good reason. You need to tell me.
Yeah.
He didn't just leave me.
Yeah.
Bye. See you later.
I always look back at it and go, was that the smartest thing to do? But you, you know, you were a trooper. You took it on. You did it. Five kids, three of them boys. And here's Dennis out doing a Harvest Crusade impact class, which was a joy to do. And I was privileged to have a great wife that was able to stay by this stuff and I could trust. But as you look back on that whole raising five kids now, you're not in the middle of it anymore. If an older young Donna, where you are now, beautiful still, not old by any means, but but an older Donna, where
an aged gracefully,
yeah,
Donna.
At home, he tells me I'm old. He said, you can't say you're middle-aged anymore. I don't know anyone that lives to be 114.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, I was never sure how this was going to go. I was never sure how it was going to go. But
you got really nervous bringing us both out here. No.
So anyhow, if an older Donna was to talking to a younger Donna, as you look back, I mean, you know, we all have things that, you know, we wish we would have done. What is it, that if you had a do-over, that you would do differently when you look back over the, you know, the years?
Well, first of all, if any of you know me, you know my tendency to be a perfectionist. And just in case that word gives you an idea that my house is always perfect, or that I don't have bad days, which I just shared a few with you, or that my children were always perfect, that just let me set the record straight. A friend told me one time this definition, and I have stuck with it. I believe it. And a perfectionist is someone who goes to great pains and inflicts them on others. And that would be me. And so when my children were young, you know, sometimes I wanted to be at church. I wanted to be able to have people over after church. And so I'd get up before them, get myself ready so I didn't have to deal with this. when I was trying to get them ready, I'd lay their clothes out the night before and everything and get dressed. And then I'd sit them on the couch with a video and say, be still. And I'd run around, I'd clean
literally
the house.
A video. A VHS.
A VHS.
We're old.
Back in the day. And then I I would vacuum myself right out the door, and it was really absolutely crazy, ridiculous. And I look at Jacqueline, and Jacqueline, to me, has the proper balance. And, I tell her, I take the blame off myself sometimes, and I say, well, you know, we were first-generation Christians. Well, Dennis's mom was a Christian, but I grew up in a religious home, but I wasn't trained in the things of the Lord. I wasn't taught the Bible daily and stuff. I'm seeing the benefit in my daughter. It's such a blessing that to her, you know, it's more about her kids' joy and their creativity, and they play and they have a good time. And it's like, I always say there's a great theologian, thank you, that's what I said the first time, so she's helping me out, but I don't remember what I said. A great theologian, and her name is Phyllis Diller. I don't know if any of you remember Phyllis Diller. But anyhow, she once said that to try and clean your house while your children are little is like trying to shovel the snow in the middle of a blizzard. And I always was shoveling snow during the blizzard, and Jacqueline's wise enough to wait until the blizzard's over, you know?
I don't wait until the blizzard's, well, maybe the blizzard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still snowing.
No drip.
It's still snowing. I just shovel a little, just enough so maybe you could get into my house, and then you're good. It's after that, it's over.
Yeah. But you know, she's always hospitable, and I had a warped sense of what it meant to be godly when I was younger. I thought you had to fit into this mold and be able to be on that white pillar that, you know, you fall off of easily because we're humans. And I wanted to look a certain way. And I thank God that I realize now that it's more about being authentic. And I gone into Jacqueline's home, and she's always hospitable, whether the house is perfectly in order or whether it's slightly chaotic. She always has a cup of tea ready for me, and same with some of my friends that I just so appreciate. I know you women are probably all the same. You're not looking to see if the cupboards are clean and if your clothes are like according to color in your closet. You know, I mean, this is the kind of stuff I did. And sometimes I still do. But, you know, I would definitely take time with my children more, not be so concerned about the house. And, you know, I do think that I was always honest with my kids when I would blow it, when I would sin. And correct them, not because they were disobedient to the word of God, but more because it irritated me. Then I would say, you know what, that was wrong. Mommy sinned, and I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? So that's one thing that I think I did right.
You did. All the time.
So, but the other I really needed to work on, and I would tell moms, you know what, it's nice to have your house in order, but that's not the priority. The priority is your husband and your children, and of course that first time in the morning with the Lord. That would be the most important thing.
Jacqueline, you're in the middle of it. How often do you feel like a failure as a mom? And what are the things that discourage you, and what are the things that encourage you?
I think as moms, we're really hard on ourselves. Like, I think we have this false, especially nowadays, social media. I don't know if anybody is quite understanding of, like, the impact that social media has on us as moms. I think you look at Instagram and blogs, and you're catching glimpses and pieces of these moms' good days. And you're only seeing their house in order, or their kids dressed perfectly and being cute, or a really cute picture of them and their husbands. And so when you kind of saturate yourself with that, or you see it around you a lot, it's easy to feel like a failure every single day. It's, you see these, you know, moms who maybe you didn't do your hair that day. You threw it up in a bun, and they look fantastic, and they look like they, you know, and you don't understand the concept of what they've been through. Their life is just that glimpse of just that little picture, and that one picture has such an impact on you that it can be so discouraging. Mm-hmm. So I think for us as moms, almost every day, if we're not guarded, we can feel like failures, and we can get discouraged, and we can take even the little things that our kids do, and even things that are personality quirks, you know, just them being silly or whatever, and we can take that as, you know, us being failures, and like, why don't you just sit there and behave? And, you know, my girls are very rambunctious. They're very outgoing. They're a lot of fun. There's never a dull moment in my house. It is like, I kind of am like, thank you, Lord, for not giving us boys, because my girls are wired enough. They're ready to go. They will keep you on the edge of your seat, and they have funny things to say. And I don't ever want to crush that spirit in them of who they are and who God's created them to be, because they're unique. And they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. And I think that we can so quickly get frustrated with a personality quirk that maybe isn't ideal. You know, maybe not sitting still in a cart while we're in Target and I look like a crazy person. If you ever see me at Target and I don't say hello to you, I'm so sorry. It's literally because I'm like, throw that in the cart, go, 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 like trying to get out of there as fast as I possibly can. So if you see me, just be like, hey, Jackie, and I'll be like, oh, I gotta go. Like, it's just crazy. So anyway, but I think that I get discouraged easy. I think the things that encourage me are good days with mm-hmm. the kids, and sometimes I take those for granted. My husband, and Chris, has always told me, you know, we need to take even good day, good week, good moment, whatever it is, and count that as a blessing and a time of refreshment and be encouraged by it. Like, see, all those spankings and discipline in that hard time last week, it paid off today. You know, it paid off. Chris and I went in October. We took the kids to SeaWorld by ourselves and four kids, two parents. It was the first time we'd ever done anything. Like, we went on family vacation by ourselves. Like, that was a big deal. We usually go with family, like other family, like grandparents and aunts and uncles. And we don't usually go outnumbered, and we went outnumbered, and we didn't just go outnumbered, like, I don't know, to a hotel. We went outnumbered, like, to a theme park, and no child was lost. That was a big deal. Thank you. I appreciate that. I was, like, so excited, and we had a good time, and we even went to dinner afterwards at a restaurant, and nobody had, like, an emotional breakdown. I know. It was a crazy accomplishment. So that was encouraging. We will count that as an encouraging day, you know, and maybe we won't do that next vacation. Maybe it will be very discouraging, but that moment was encouraging. So I think taking those little things and really being appreciating them for what they are.
Right. That kind of reminded me, too, of what Jacqueline said about, you know, every moment. You need to appreciate every moment, and it reminded me of Proverbs 31, and that was another thing back to what I would do differently is when I was a young mom, I really believed that the Proverbs 31 woman was one life in the day of the woman that I wanted to become, you know. And through teaching the Word of God, I have come to realize that it's not one day in the life of a perfect person, but it's the life of a woman that's walking with the Lord towards the goal of the high calling. So that's encouraged me.
Donna, you're looking back, and now you're, you have children who have children. And you've gone from, you know, the crazy busy of our younger years and with all the kids and all the responsibility. And now you're in a season where, well, they're almost all gone, and you're in an empty nest situation. How does it feel, or what do you cope with when you look at the empty nest and you still have your children in the sense that they're there? How is it that you've adjusted, and what are some of the struggles now that you have an empty nest?
Well, you know this. Partially, I don't like to sit still. I'm very...
That's a genetic trait I got from both of them, because neither one of them like to sit still, and that's I don't like to sit still,
I've
and
learned.
My kids don't
I've
like to sit still.
To sit still
See, it's
bit.
Genetic.
But so I do like I have more time with him, and I do love that. Somebody asked us, we went out to dinner the other night without kids, and she knows without kids or grandchildren, and usually we have either or, and she asked us, she says, well, how does it feel to be out to dinner with nobody but the two of you? I said, it's really good.
Well, I always say that my parents made a mistake. They didn't pray us far enough away. Like, we're all local, except for I have one brother that's in Texas. But the rest of us, like, literally live right around the corner. So we do. We vacation together. We go out together. Like, we're my dad or my mom will pick up my oldest daughter from school, like, once a week and take her out for the day. And, like, so they are not without grandchildren or children often.
Yeah, so I think our empty nest is probably a little different than many because we have an empty nest for a couple days, and then we have a really full nest. My mom and dad are still alive, praise God. My dad's 89, my mom's 85. They live in Arizona, and my dad's still driving, and he drives out to see us every once in a while. They drive out to see us every once in a while. And anyhow, we're trying to talk them into moving here. And
Grandpa said when he gets old, he'll move here.
But
like, they, oh, okay, great.
They are actually considering it now. I guess he figures he's almost old now. But they're going to put their house up for sale. But my mom did say, I'm a little concerned. And I said, about what? And she said, well, I love all your kids and I love all the grandkids, but I just don't think I could take that every day. And I told her, I said, you know, Mom, they just come to my house when you're there because they don't see you very often. So they all rush in, and it is rather a mad dash. But I also, with the support of my husband, I interpret for the deaf, which is something that I absolutely love you guys. Love you all. And so the Lord has opened the doors. I didn't seek it at all. But somebody came to me and asked me if I would like to work for their company. And so now I work part-time as an interpreter in the community. So I do that as well. And I also teach women's Bible studies. And I just got back from Missouri. And so I, you know, I stay a little bit busy.
All right. Just, Jackie, I want to hear from you first on this. What are the kind of things that, you know, I'm a father and a husband. What are the things that sons, daughters, husbands, fathers, what kind of things can we do to encourage you, not only and show appreciation, not only today on Mother's Day, but throughout the year? What are the things that encourage you?
I think for me, being in the crazy and having four little ones and trying to get a lot done in a day, and some days are successful and other days are not. And one of the things that has been a big blessing for me from my husband is he will compliment me on the littlest things. So, like, the house could be a total bomb, and he'll find the one thing that's clean in the house and be like, the room looks really nice. You got to the room. It looks really good. I'm like, thanks. Like, you know, or he'll just come in and be like, honey, you look beautiful. And I'm like, really? I don't think I got out of my pajamas today, but that's all good. Like, you know, he's so loving. He's great. But that's a blessing. And I think from my kids, just, Chris tells me to look at the little things. So really cherishing the little moments and finding the encouragement in it. You know, actually looking for it, not being a naysayer about everything, but with my children actually looking for encouragement, looking for the times when we are having a good day, or when my girls play good together. They are very close in age, so we can end up either totally fighting and, like, slamming doors and kicking people out of rooms, and I can't imagine teenage years. Just pray for me. Pray for my husband. But, yeah. But now, like, some days they really are each other's best friends. We actually just put the oldest two in the same room. Our oldest, Addie, was in a room by herself for a long time because she had school in the morning, and so that was always a concern of her making sure she got a good night's sleep, uninterrupted by babies, that whole thing. We just put our second one, Riley, in the room with her because Riley's getting ready to start school in August. And Riley and Addie, I think no matter how many kids you have, you always have two that are polar opposites. And Riley and Addie, personality-wise, are polar opposite. And I was really concerned about putting them in the same room. And they may fight all day long, but when we put them in that room at night, those two have the greatest conversations. And I don't want to, like, I really want them to go to bed and get a good night's sleep. But at the same time, I don't want to kill that sister bonding that's going on there. And so I've been letting them.
You know what I mean? That's wise.
No.
That is fine.
No, whatever. It's great. It's just fun. It's fun to hear, like, them chat and giggle and kind of share. And Addie's talking to Riley about school and what's going to happen in school. And it's just neat. And so I'm just trying to let that kind of be and cherish those moments, even if the day was awful. And even if I really do want them to go to bed and get a good night's sleep and know that it will be harder in the morning if they don't get a good night's sleep. But I want them to be close and I want them to love each other. And one thing I always tell my girls, I'm going to get emotional about this. Friends come and go. Sisters are forever. And my sister and I are 13 years apart. But in the last 5 years, we have become so close. And she really is my best friend. And so I did not expect to do this. I'm really sorry. But
yeah, you didn't do this first service.
I didn't do this first service at all. I wasn't awake yet.
You.
I didn't have coffee.
My allergies are just acting up. I have an excuse. I told you about my eyes and my allergies to do that.
Anyway, so knowing.
Yeah, my allergies.
Everybody,
I don't know if this is
else?
A good idea or not.
Anybody? Okay.
This might have been a bad idea.
This is a bad idea. We're very real. Sorry. But just to see, to cherish those moments in my girls and to see that as encouragement, and even if it's just a blink, to be encouraged by that blink, you know. And then my parents, my mom and my daughter and my in-laws are amazing. I have amazing parents and amazing in-laws, and they're always super encouraging and telling me I'm a good mom and keep up the good work. And on days that I've been really discouraged or really struggling, my parents or my in-laws, I'll call either one of them and be like, today is a really hard day, especially if Chris will be like out of town. There was one instance not that long ago where Chris was gone. I can't remember where he was. And I, like, called my mother-in-law, and I'm like, I can't take this. Can you please just watch them so I can go to the store in peace? And she's like, bring them over. So off they went to Nana's house for a minute, and I was able just to get out and kind of recompose myself because I was a hot mess at that moment and just kind of seek the Lord and just go, okay, Lord, this is okay. I need to get it back together and get back in there and continue to discipline and be faithful for what you've called me to do, even though I may not see the benefit of it today or tomorrow, you know. So to be encouraged by family and friends or whoever you have to support you. The church body has been an awesome encouragement. I shared first service, there was a gentleman one Thursday night. My husband teaches the Abide study on Thursday night, and there was a gentleman who we had a really rough day, and it was one of those days where we actually took all the kids to the study, which we don't usually do. We usually leave them with my sister-in-law, and we had taken them all to the study, and they had just had a rough day. I had a rough day. I didn't want to be there. I was tired. I just wanted to put them to bed, and I wanted to clean the house and get things just kind of in order and relax, but I just went anyway because I knew that's where I needed to be. And when I got there, one of the gentlemen that is in the group came up to me and just said, you know, it's such a blessing to see you just come in and just support your husband every week and to bring the kiddos in and to have them here is such a blessing. And it's so exciting to see the example that you're setting for the women in ministry and all the stuff. And it was just simple words, but very, very encouraging. And he didn't know that I had a really rough day. And he didn't know that I was about to, like, fall apart. But he was just such a blessing to me in that moment. And so I think even as a church body, we can encourage one another, encourage other moms, encourage, you know, families, and just even at Target, you know. You don't know where – I say Target a lot, don't I? It's my life.
Yeah, well, you live there.
Target. The clearance.
True,
okay?
Confessions.
This is honest. Okay. Anyway, but it's just wherever you're at. If you see a mom even struggling, sometimes I think just people have told me, like, oh, cherish these moments because they're going to pass. And it goes so quick. And I'm like, you're crazy. But at the same time, it does. You know, I see, like, I really see. We're getting ready to put our second one in kindergarten. And I'm sitting here going, I'm only going to have two at home. What am I going to do with only two at home? That's crazy to me. So I feel like you can just be an encouragement in every area. There's so many ways you can, you as a church body can bless others, or as husbands, just to notice the little things that your wife does and appreciate them. And wives, likewise, notice the little things your husband does and appreciate them. But, and then kids, just always, I think two of my kids just say they love me. That's a blessing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't think about it.
Yeah.
And just to acknowledge that, like, I love you, Mommy. It's just so sweet. So,
Donna, what about the same thing in, as far as the, what kind of things encourage? Because not everybody's the same. So what kind of things encourage you?
I'm glad he kind of restated it because I forgot the question. I was so into you. I was like, that was really, really good.
I'm going to give you a cheat sheet as
well.
I know.
Anyhow, the thing of...
Do you remember?
Yes, I do. I had to stop for a minute, but I do remember that honestly, like Paul, the one thing that encourages me the most is to know that my children are walking with the Lord. You know, to see that my children all are saved. I have confidence that I will see them in heaven. I see them walking with the Lord. I see them serving the Lord. I see them loving one another. You know, when they're little and they're, I remember one time they joke about this, and I won't go why they joke about this. But I came down the stairs one time, and my three boys were like having a knockdown drag out, and it started out fun. They started out kind of wrestling. I was cleaning upstairs. They were a little bit older, not quite. They were young teenagers and down to probably eight. And pretty soon they're like, you know, I thought, yeah, furniture was going to break and stuff because it was like a war going on down there. And I came halfway down the stairs, and I was like, knock this stuff off. But I really said, I don't really cuss, you guys. But
she didn't cuss. She has to clarify. Okay. She comes down the stairs, and I come right behind her.
I don't spell well.
On the stair. I sit on the stair right behind her because I was going to ask her a question.
She was like 17, I think.
Yeah, she's yelling down at the boys, and she's like, you guys better knock off your C-A-R-P. I'm so sick and tired of it. And I... literally, I'm like dying. I'm dying laughing. And I know that what she is telling
and
me
I'm
is
looking
so
at
important.
Her, I don't know why she's laughing. And I'm like, what is the problem? And she pushed me up to my bedroom. And she goes, Mom, I don't even think we have any carp here.
It's like literally one of our favorite mom stories ever. It's awesome.
What was the question?
What kind of things encourage you?
Carp. Oh. We like carp.
So we can now laugh at
those. It went different for service, honey. It went different.
Oh, you guys are awake now. I'm so scared. Anyhow, yes, that my children love Jesus and
that
they
get along. That's what it was.
I love that. And can I tell about you?
Which thing, hon?
Yeah. Well,
I think we're out of time.
Just say it in the microphone loud and clear.
Yeah, we actually are kind of getting close.
Okay.
Well, you got 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll talk really fast, okay? Anyhow, when we were first married, Dennis used to encourage me not when he would come home. And, I wanted everything to be so beautiful for him when he came home. And the kids, I probably had two kids at the time. My one was like five later, but anyhow, I would work so hard to have everything done, and he would notice that, hun, when was the last time you changed your oil? And I'm like, really? I clean
the
entire
house. That's
refers
to the car.
Yeah, usually it refers to the car. It was like, there's stuff in your car.
Having
you know?
A car that doesn't look like a closet.
He noticed that kind of stuff.
Was
and that wasn't
struggles.
Really encouraging. Or I remember one time in particular, I really wanted to have this nice dinner and the family meal, and everybody loved it, and I was just so excited. So I made this roast and mashed potatoes and green beans, and it was really, I thought it was really good, and I said, so. How's dinner, hon? And he goes, you know, the meat's a little bit tough, you know? And so I burst into tears and went upstairs. So
I had to learn.
Yeah.
It was a young, early in our marriage. So God's helped me.
God really has helped him. He really learned, and so now he does. He notices the little things, and he taught my boys to notice the little things. And yes,
true.
Yes.
That's very true.
The boys are.
My brothers are like hopeless romantics. All
they
of
are.
Them.
All three of the boys are awesome.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, that's pretty much it.
On that note.
I didn't know how this would go. My goal, of course, was for moms to talk to moms and encourage the moms and to know, you know what, it's not an easy job that you have. And the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. And in due season, you will reap if you don't give up. Moms, there are days where, you just think nothing's going to happen. And some of you, Donna and I give the credit for all my children following the Lord. And that's happened just recently. They've all known of the Lord. But we've had, issues with, some of them over the past. And the credit goes to when I was gone and flying around the country, guess who was staying by the stuff? My wife, impacting them, praying for them, and serving them. If there's one fault she has, she serves. And the kids are all sitting there. She's talking about shoveling snow in the blizzard. There's snow, there's a blizzard. She's shoveling, and the kids are standing there all watching her. I can remember those days, and I go.
She's really good at it.
Yeah, I know. And I'd go, what on earth are you shoveling the snow? But get these kids, wrap them, get in here. She's just such a servant. She's got a servant's heart, and she is the one.
I thought I was gonna train them, but they were gonna see an example. But they don't. You have to make them do it. They don't.
They've learned, but
wait, we have to tell the Riley story about Nana and the clean of the playroom.
Yeah.
Nana came over and
we
cleaned
didn't tell
the playroom.
This first service.
I know, but this
service?
Is so great because my mom came over and cleaned the playroom all up and made
while,
it all cute.
While they were sleeping.
We're running out of time, though.
Okay,
no,
but
hurry.
This is funny.
The kids were all sleeping. They were taking a nap. And so, kids, when they're sleeping, they don't realize time has gone by. So she thinks I'm magic because I cleaned the playroom up. And she came in and she went, oh.
No. And it was all set cute, like a little tea set and like a little stuff. Party was out and all that stuff. And Riley comes in and she's like, Nana, you are amazing. The playroom looks so good. How did you do that? She's like just amazed. She's marveled, right? Well, then the next day, they destroyed the playroom. I mean, in 5 minutes, they destroyed the playroom. The next day, Riley goes, Mom, you could just call Nana and Nana could come over.
That's Nana. So... But anyhow, I'm well aware of the fact that, you could do everything right and be a good mom and love Jesus with all your heart and raise your children in the way of the Lord. And you know what? It's possible that they not follow the Lord. And listen, when that happens, you feel like, what did I do wrong? Listen, as Don has already said, Jesus did everything right, absolutely perfectly, and he still had people that believed, and he had people that didn't believe. It's not a reflection on you. You do the best, Mom, and you stay at it, and you be ferocious about it, and you love them, and you have an impact on them. I'm a testimony to Hannah was a mom that prayed, and God heard her prayers as she presented her son to the Lord, and he came to serve the Lord. You know what? You keep presenting them to the Lord. Keep praying for them. My mom prayed for me. Initially, the more she prayed, the worse I got. She used to tell me, and it drove me crazy, you know what? I'm praying for you. I'm not that bad, Mom. I'm praying for you that God will get a hold of your life. And one of these days, he's going to. And I just roll my eyes and go, oh, my crazy, Mom. Guess what? Amen. Don't quit preaching. Don't quit praying. You've got the promise that if you're praying for your unbelieving children, that they're set apart for a special work of the Holy Spirit as you pray for them. So, Mom, we love you. We appreciate you. Hang in there. Remain steadfast in your commitment to Christ and to be a godly mom. Let's pray.